You are listening to a presentation of Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, go to streamschurch.org. And now, Pastor Lloyd Baker.
Another. A month ago, I stated Mother's Day, like I said, is the most celebrated holiday outside of Christmas and Easter out of the entire year. In fact, 145 million Mother's Day cards are sent out, and $14.6 billion is spent on gifts. There are more long-distance calls made that day than any other day. According to StatisticBrain.com, the average American consumer will spend $169 on Mother's Day and $91 on Father's Day. Yeah. Let's compare what Americans say they want, okay? Mother's Day versus Father's Day. We'll see who has the highest. As far as Mother's Day or Father's Day, who do you think wants homemade gifts more? Mothers, right. Yeah, yeah. That's 36%. Guys want 25%, so not bad. Guys, I'll take a homemade gift for my child. How about dinner out? What do you think? Moms, 34%, 35%. Guys are about 25%. Greeting cards. Yeah, moms, 32% to 14%. I was doing the math like 30, 30, 30, 30, 30. And what I realized is this. Moms want like multiple things. Right, they're not satisfied. They want a greeting card and this and that and that. So anyway, gift cards, dads, right? Very good. 31 to 24% on gift cards. It's because women want a gift. Men just like, give me the money so I can go buy what I want to get. Right, and that's why. Flowers for mom or electronics for dad? Which one gets more higher? Men want electronics more than women want flowers, believe it or not. It's like 29 to 22%. I know, this is exciting stuff, right? Don't cheat. Chris, you're cheating. There are no prizes being awarded. That's what's wrong with having the chairs like this, right? You can cheat. Jewelry for mom or tools for guys? Tools. But it's like 13, 12. It's really close there. Or books for mom or movies for dad? Books by like a percentage. But dads are like, why would I want to read a book when it's going to come out in a movie anyway, right? So it doesn't make a lot of sense. So today perhaps I gave you some ideas in case you're scrambling or whoops, Father's Day, and you need a gift. You'll sort of know that's sort of what they want. Here are some father gifts you should not get, okay? I put them up here. Just some ideas. Go ahead and give me the next slide. Slimming shirt. That's not a good Father's Day gift. And notice the guy, you can barely see it before and after picture down here. So how about the next one? The extra love. I don't even think that's a good Mother's Day gift, is it? No. So that's not a good gift, all right? How about, let's go to the next one. This is sushi cologne. It's a real deal. Don, you might like that, huh? Little spray in the mouth. Simple, subtle, singular scents each day, everywhere. And it says it's the pick-me-up cologne spray. I don't think you're picking anybody up. So next slide. That looks pretty cool, to tell you the truth. I'm not one that needs it, but if you do, I think that's a gift. It's a hat and hair. This is my, I think the next one's my favorite. Here we go. A potty putter. Forgive my joke, but I mean, when you get to a certain age, making a hole in one try, you're pretty excited about that, so. He's sitting there. So anyway, let's because people won't focus, let's move off that slide. Here's some things about guys, all right? You say, well, you know what? We don't get as many gifts, Mother's Day. I got 10 things that are cool about being a guy. Number one is, you know cool things about tanks, right, guys? Isn't that awesome? That's a great thing. Here's the next one. Let's see about this one. You can go to the bathroom without a support group. That's a great thing about being a guy. There's a lot of good values. Let's see the next one here. If someone forgets to invite you to something, he can still be your friend. I didn't get an invitation. Yeah, no problem. It's all right. You know what I mean? We're still friends. This one. You can drop by to see a friend without bringing a little gift. That's the nice thing about being a guy. Next one. If another guy shows up at the same party in the same outfit, you might become lifelong buddies. That's awesome, man. Where'd you get that shirt? I got one today. Look at us. And like, you hang out the whole time. So anyway, that's great about being a guy. Another thing is one wallet, one pair of shoes, one collar, all seasons. All right, guys, that's cool. All right, next one, let's see. There's always a game on somewhere. If you're a sports guy, your pals, I love this one. Your pals can be trusted never to trap you with the phrase, "So notice anything different?" You just, that doesn't happen. You're like, yeah, you're fatter. I don't know what. You're like, you're right. I gained 5 pounds, man. So anyway, guys, don't do that. Is there one more? If something mechanical doesn't work, you can bash it with a hammer and throw it across the room, and that's completely normal. And my favorite one's the last one here. You can do your nails with a pocket knife. Come on, give a shout out for guys. Yeah, it's great to be a guy. All right. Father's Day. Let's not complain because there's some great things. I want to revisit just a bit of the Mother's Day message and then correlate that with the Father's Day message today. So make an analogy. We talked about there really is, in my understanding, 3 stages of parenting. There's that young stage where children call you mommy and daddy. You sort of get that thing going on. And then all of a sudden there's an age that comes about where it's mother and father. Some of you remember that? My mother, my father. And then you get to a stage where it's mom and dad. And we talked about this on Mother's Day. There just seems to be a constant theme throughout all 3 stages that is so particular to mother and so valued about a mother is this, that they have a nurturing, just something nurturing about them, that they're constantly nurturing. And if you can look at all phases of motherhood, it's a powerful thing. It shows the character of God in a unique way, that He is a nurturer. And mothers bring that to the table like no one else. And we thank God for that. But there are some roles and some characters that God has that I believe that dads bring to the table during those stages that actually vary more than probably what the mother brings. So we're going to look at Psalm chapter 128, verses 1 through 4. If you have your Bibles or your smartphones, you want to look there. It says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be a blessing for the man who fears the Lord." And in this psalm, God is telling earthly fathers that He wants to bless them and their families, and He wants to make them strong. And He wants to make their homes a happy, healthy, safe place. He's telling fathers in this psalm that there are certain things that you can do to ensure those results. So I'm going to make some parallels to the stages of fatherhood and life, and hopefully that'll help you out. If you're past those, you can say, yeah, I understand that, I agree with that. There is that stage when you're the daddy, when they're little, when they're young, when they come running to you when you come home and their arms are outstretched. And if you want to succeed as a godly father and you want your houses to succeed, you have to set an atmosphere within the home. You are the one, I believe, that is called to lead and set a certain atmosphere within the home that's a godly, value-driven atmosphere. Men, we are to take the lead in that. You notice the location he says, if you want the blessings of the Lord, Psalms 128, he says, your wife will be a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. And it gives us a concept that as fathers and as men, there's an atmosphere, there's something that we do within the home, around the table. And too many men find their value systems and their greatest joys in work ethic, recreation, possessions. There's nothing wrong with having a successful career. There's nothing wrong with having some recreational time as outlets. But these are support systems to being the man and the father that you need to be within the home that sets the values and the direction of your family that creates a healthy environment. There's one thing that I learned from Jason Backus and some our associate pastor and some other great businessmen was this, is that when you hire a new employee, the first 6 months are critical. And the reason the first 6 months are critical, it is then when you instill work ethic, value systems, this is what I expect from you, you set these patterns. And many times what people do as an employer is they come in and they want to gain friendships and they want to bring encouragement and admonition to the person. That's the time that they're the most excited. That's the time they're most pliable when they come in. So as an employer, those first 6 months are critical. And then there'll be a time when they hit the wall, and that's when you encourage and you reinforce the value systems that you have. The same thing happens with children, I believe. When they're young, we create a value system of who we are as a family, an environment that you set that gets ingrained in them, and later on you'll encourage them in this through many means. But at that moment, at that time, it's so important to set this up. So we're creating a spiritual environment. And how do we do that? Well, we pray together, and our children see that. We pray for one another. We pray for our spouses. We belong to a family of believers, and they understand that being a part of a family like this in our churches, that's an important thing. That's a part of our life. It's an environment. We believe in Jesus, and we talk about that freely. We treat each other with honor and respect. They see dads treating moms with respect. Guess what? Later on, they know that's a value system in our house. We model how to deal with conflicts within the family in a rational way. We lead men in these areas. We affirm our wives in front of our wife in front of our children. We're setting these value systems, teaching them to respect other peoples and other people groups and people that don't look like us. Those are all things that, as they're young, we're setting these value systems. We implant positive impressions in their life. Specific memories are not developed as a child, but I tell you what, environments and impressions are. They will not remember the gifts that you gave them when they're 2 years old. They probably won't remember when they're 3 or 4 going to Disneyland, but they will remember an environment that was set. That living at home as a child was fun. I enjoyed it. My mom and dad loved each other. I felt love from them. They set an environment. So that's way more important than the gift that you give, is that you're creating an environment with your children that they enjoy it. We do the same thing in our children's ministry here. When they're young, we teach them things, but we want them just to really enjoy church as well as learning. So they walk away fun day going, you know what? It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a good place to go to. You need to create that same direction in your family. These are the things to your children that are important to us, that daddy values. I have to work, yes. I have some recreation, but I value the time we have at home and the time we have together more than anything else in this world. And that is caught at a young age. You can't teach it, but it's caught at a young age. And when you create and constantly reinforce a positive, healthy atmosphere, the scripture says that your wives will become fruitful vines. And I have no idea what that means, but it sounds positive, okay? And it said, I have no clue. It says, and this is what it says, see, your sons will be like olive shoots. On the other side of town, back in the day, they planted a lot of olive trees on 32nd Street where I grew up. My mother-in-law has an olive tree. Then they realize it's terrible for the pollen, but it's interesting because you can see her olive tree. And out of the bottom of the olive tree, they have to control all the time because shoots come out of the tree. There are three ways to reproduce olive trees. You can do it by seeds. You can do it by cutting off the, or they have olive shoots that come out of that tree. And when that tree gets older, that shoot will take over the tree. It's very interesting. There's a story of, in Tuscany, 1985, there was a severe frost that destroyed many of the productive aged olive trees and ruined the farmers' livelihoods. However, new shoots appeared out of this wood, and it reproduced, and once the dead wood was removed, it became the basis for a new productive crop. And I believe the scripture is saying this, is that as we begin to create an atmosphere in our family, our children become offshoots grounded in the value systems that we have. And one day, right, we're going to move on, but they're going to continue the heritage that we built. And they'll become productive because of the atmosphere that we set. Then there's stage two. There comes a place and time in raising children that these cute little children become fire-breathing teenagers. Okay, for those of experience will understand that. And daddy becomes my father. Now here's how you know if you've done a good job in stage number one. When you get to stage number two, that you've created good core values, is that when you say something, this happens, all right? Because they're going, I've heard that before. I know. You know when that happens, that you created values that are there. And just when they begin to create this independency, which is a good thing, and you begin to let the kite string out a little more, because that's what you got to do, and giving them independence, there's something in them that knows exactly in every situation what should happen. And you might reiterate that to them, and you might try to help guide them in that, but it's so ingrained in them, they don't have to guess. One of the greatest comments that I've heard, I know it sounds weird, is when my daughter says, I can't because my father said this, this, or this. And their friends are putting pressure, they don't do it, and the comment comes out, my father, and it kept them from danger. To me, that's a win. It's a job well done. Listen to verses 1 and 2. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways, because you will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. And essentially saying this is that if you fear the Lord, you will receive His blessings. And we talked about the fear of the Lord a couple weeks ago. A fear is not being afraid. Psalm 103:13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. And the correlation is being made there that there's this we'll talk about it in a second, sort of a respect, but more than a respect. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Being afraid versus fear. Healthy fear is not going to Jurassic World, if there was such a place. Because you realize that there are dinosaurs there that eat people, and the walls are not that safe. And so you say, you know, I'm just going to stay away from that place. That's sort of a concept of fear. A healthy fear is, I won't go there because I know there's a possibility that danger might happen. Being afraid is going there and seeing the T-Rex and knowing he's going to eat you at any moment. I'm afraid of that person, that animal. There is a fear that is healthy, and that is a healthy fear. It says, Dad says what he means, and he means what he says. Because he cares for me. And if I don't adhere to his warnings, right, and keep his value systems, the natural results are not healthy. That's positive. Being afraid it's Dad is mean and scary, and I don't know when he's going to go off, and I don't know when he's going to be angry. I don't know when he's going to beat me. That's being afraid. A healthy fear is saying, Dad may know what he's talking about because he cares for me, and I'm going to guide my direction because of that. Positive and negative value systems create that, and when they get to a later age, they help guide them in a way that's healthy. And my daughters will tell you, there was a little bit of when Daddy walked in the room, it was over. And they'll tell you now they're glad it was that way. Back then they didn't tell you that. But today they'll know I was screaming at Mom and then Dad walked in the room and it was over. I'm going to teach you where boundaries are at. Whoever loves life. So listen to Psalm 34:11-14 says, come my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you where the boundaries are at. The way to walk. The places to go and not to go. And whoever of you loves life and desires to see good days, many good days. That's what you want. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And so fearing God in a good way is knowing where He's drawn the lines in life, in marriage, in raising your children. Knowing where those boundaries are and staying within them. This stage of life is almost always at times they'll say, you know, you'll say, I told you, if you treat people with disrespect, you're not going to have friends. So let's learn how to do that. Because if you keep acting this way, you're not going to have a lot of friends in life. And I want you to have friends in life. So let's help curve that behavior. If you don't have work ethic, you're not going to get a job. You're not going to be successful in life. So let me help you with chores, get good work ethic for later on. So in school and all these places, you're going to do well. That's a good thing. And for the sake of God and my sanity, do not bribe your children for good behavior. Don't say, if you do this, I'll give you money or whatever. I've seen that so many times. It doesn't work. It becomes an entitled society. We do the right thing. Why? Because it's the right thing. That's what you got to train your children. We do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because you're going to get something out of this. I fear God, I'm assured of several things, the scripture says. When I fear God, I'm assured that He loves me, that He has compassion for me, that He assigns angels to protect me because I fear His boundaries, and that He makes sure that I lack nothing. And that really is a healthy thing, that I'm going to put my trust in God and His ways, and in doing that, things are going to work out better than if I don't do that. Oswald Chambers once wrote this: the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. And whereas when you don't fear God, you fear everything else. And Hebrews 12, 9 through 10 says, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and it should have said, and much later we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for a good that we may share in His holiness. And as earthly fathers, it's important for us to know where God's boundaries are and then pass it on to our children so they can live within the boundaries of God. And one day we step into the role of being dads. And as I've told you before, that was a bit of a tough transition for me. I looked on Facebook today. Yesterday, my daughter put this wonderful picture, Sarah, my daughter in Japan, wonderful picture of when I was a father and she was a child. And then last February, we were in New York City, a picture of us together, and she wrote this wonderful thing. And then right underneath us, there's this Facebook, all these Facebooks about Jade and loving on and his dad and that family there. And I thought, wow, I love the fact that there's this transition that she has now where she still honors dad, but she's got this whole network now that she's teaching her child to honor his father. And it's just a passing on of that heritage. And now I'm a dad, and I get to watch this thing happening from afar. And it's a great thing, because we have seen a lifetime as a child, as a father. We're walking before God. And the scripture says here in Psalms, we walk before the Lord. And walking with God is an example. That's what it is. As we daily walk with God in our relationship with Him, and they see how we treat each other, and they see how we treat our spouses, how we honor other people. They see us act it out, not just tell them. There comes a day when they mimic that behavior. And all of a sudden you as a dad gets to see that at the sacrifices, the walking, the consistency of life has paid off in the heritage of your children. And that's a wonderful, powerful day. But that only comes when you're the same person, on Sunday, as you are Monday through Saturday. That's the only way it becomes that way. If they see this consistent, loving pattern that doesn't change. I think it's one of the greatest gifts I've ever been given for my children. I've told you this. As they say to people, my dad on Sunday is the same dad the rest of the week. And I've always made that a priority in my life, and I don't know how to live life any other way. So God always wants to walk with His people. The problem is His people don't always want to walk with God. God has a passion to do that. So fathers, if you want God's blessings in your home, you have to decide you're going to walk and take the time to walk with God with personal Bible study, with prayer, with your own devotional life, with leading your family, because it's not just from human wisdom. You need God's Spirit for each individual child to be able to raise them as good fathers. They're so individual, you need it. And at this stage in life, when you become dad, you don't fix things anymore. You help walk them through fixing things. You're walking along in life with them when they get to that stage. You don't force the answers. I've had to learn to walk and talk with Sarah and Shinsuke and allow them to discover their journey. And that's being a good father. And there are times, as a good dad, that they'll say, Dad, what do you think about? And I have the opportunity to speak in that. Because of my walking, because of her seeing my life, she can say, you know, there's some wisdom about my dad that we don't have yet. And so I'm going to ask him. And it's sort of a cool stage. Life changes. But first, we need to make sure that our family is a priority and we set value systems in their lives when they're young. It's so important, Dad. And I know many of you have done a great job about that. The second thing is that we need to have a concept that we guide them in a good, godly way, that we make sure they understand the boundaries, that we fear the Lord, and they see that, and they take that concept, that God's ways are the best ways. And then thirdly, we need to determine that we're going to walk in a way that they see us on a daily basis, be consistent. So there will come a time that they'll say, I know that Dad knows about this because I saw this consistency, and I'm going to ask his opinion, and we get to be a part of even that stage. So Andrew Gillis once wrote a poem called A Confession to a Father. Last night, my little boy confessed to me some childish wrong. And kneeling at my knee, he prayed with tears. Dear God, make me a man like Daddy, wise and strong. I know you can. Then he slept. I knelt beside his bed and confessed my sins and prayed with a low, bowed head. Oh God, make me like a child. Make me like my child here, pure, guileless, trusting you with faith sincere. And dads, you have an important role, and we're seeing it more and more in society, how important your role is. And you're doing a wonderful job. And today I want to end by just blessing you and adding God's strength to you to continue the job you're doing because it's so important. Can we stand today as I do that? I've got Michael's story where I really didn't have a lot of great father figures in my life. But yet there were men from the church and men that surrounded me who became great father figures for me. And some of you do that. And I want to say thank you for men who take on other men who haven't had that in their lives. That's so important. You become spiritual fathers to these guys. So let's pray. And if your husband or your dad's around you, would you just sort of put a hand on them? So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for each man here who has taken the role as a physical father or as a spiritual father, and hopefully both. And I just know how difficult a job that is. It takes creativity. It takes understanding from your spirit. It takes guidance from other men. And so I just pray right now that you would impart wisdom upon them in the name of Jesus, that you would allow your spirit to guide them, that they would hear your voice, that you would give them just an understanding of each child's heart so they can speak specifically to make sure that that child becomes all that they can become. I thank you for the fathers. I thank you, Lord, that you're the best Heavenly Father and the greatest example we could ever have of unconditional love. Let us receive that as fathers, and may we pass it on. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. Email any questions to streamschurch@msn.com. The mission of Streams Church is very simple: to lead people into their life calling, a relationship with Jesus Christ that is challenging, growing, and purposeful. For more information about service times, location, or events, go to streamschurch.org.